What's going on, Kicking Out Podcast Nation? It's Sunday night. It's November 3rd, 2024. Yes, we are in the 11th month of 2024.
Good Lord.
Don't know where this year has went, but I guess time flies when you're having fun. That's what we do right here on the Kicking Out Podcast every week.
So, yeah.
Something like that, right?
Right. It's funny. You fired the intro video and there were two of us and it comes back and there's three of us.
I saw Shep pop in the bottom window during the intro. I'm like, oh, I better change everything up.
Yeah.
I made it.
Shep's already getting hellos from everybody.
I know where Steffi's going to go with this, too, by the way.
How was the race, Shep?
Yeah, wasn't good for us Young Money fans, that's for sure.
Where was it at today?
It was at Martinsville. It's the last race before the Final Four, and there was some controversy today. If you remember, was it 2 years ago when Ross Chastain just did the video game move where he basically didn't lift and rode the wall around and it in? Well, they made that illegal to do that. You can't video game it in real life, basically. Well, Christopher Bell tried to do that today, and he got his hand slapped, and he did not make the finals, and William Byron made it. So we still have a Hendrick Chevy in there, but it's just not the right Hendrick Chevy. So, guy, you know what, though? The guy won six races this year. He finished third today. I still think he's the best driver in the world. And I will debate anybody that wants to discuss that. So on to professional wrestling.
Yeah, I won't debate you with that. I don't.
Neither will I. Don't worry.
So, but yeah, we got a lot to talk about tonight. See, Majin keeps saying hi, guys, in the comments. I know where he's going with that. We'll talk about his boy, Chris Jericho, later on.
Yeah.
But he is thanking you, Paul, for the wave back.
That's what I do. That's why I'm the people's champion.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I acknowledge our fans.
You know that is trademarked by Dwayne, right?
I'm the people's champion. Champion.
You know, actually, you know what?
Champ.
It could bring us some notoriety if we got sued by him. So
that would be one I would frame and put on the wall.
If we got a cease and desist from Dwayne Johnson, man, I would. Yeah, we'd all have to frame that.
Yeah.
Any publicity is good publicity, right?
Exactly.
Paul, would that be your first? It'd be my first. I know it wouldn't be Shep's first, though.
It would be my first.
What, cease and desist letters? Oh, man, I got three so far.
It'd be my first personal one, but.
Yeah. I got two personals and one business. So other than that, we'll leave it.
I got a business one or two. I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember. Those were the good old days. Not.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She's a see you next Tuesday anyways.
Of the people, for the people, by the people. There we go. I like that, Majin. So, Shep, before we get any further into this, as I allow Tanner to have a few seconds to pull this up, I see your little cup there. So, Shep, what are we drinking? Mm.
You know what the benefit of having a 3-year-old birthday party at your house yesterday was? Is your wife makes like 3 gallons of homemade lemonade, which is really, really good. And when I'm on the golf course, my go-to drink – because most golf courses don't have the mixers I prefer. My go-to is just lemonade and vodka. And especially when you get homemade lemonade and vodka. Yeah, we poured us a true stiffy too. And it is so good. In fact, it's so good that I can't taste the vodka, and I poured pretty good. So if I get sidetracked here, I'll be quite honest with you guys. I didn't think I was going to make the podcast. I had a rough week. I didn't catch a lot of AEW. So if I get on some tangents today, it's because this is like 80-20. But the lemonade's really good.
Now is the lemonade the 80 or the 20?
Oh, the 20 for sure.
So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so good.
The journalist in me kicked in there. You got to ask these types of questions. I may already know the answer, but, you know, Steffi or Majin might not.
It's just when it hits the lips. Oh, hey, God. Speaking of them lovely Canadians, the countdown is on. I fly out November 15th. We're what? That's in 12 days?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have not received the list of the celebrities at this tournament. I'm trying to get it to make sure the legend Marty will be there, but I'm pretty sure he will. I can't wait to take a picture with him to show Canada who the greatest hockey player of all time is.
Oh, God.
Yeah, oh, Anna Jay was named after her by the Dark Order, 99. Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, he's not the greatest. Marty McSorley is. He's a legend.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Mm.
Yes. Yes.
So. Well. Paul, what are you watching? What do you got behind you going on?
I was getting ready to cue that up and ask you the same question. We are on the road to full gear, so I figured what better way than to celebrate with last year's full gear. So I've got full gear 23 on behind me. It's weird, Tanner, because Darby's in the ring behind me, and he's in the ring behind you. So what are you watching?
I'm watching full gear 2021.
Okay.
I was trying to go back to the earliest one I had over here on Triller, and I guess they didn't export my 2020 or 2019 over. So 2021 is the earliest one I got, so, which was a classic one in Minneapolis. So.
Hey, yeah. Hey, speaking of that, what's the latest on Luchasaurus?
I have not heard anything since I think you and I talked about Shep a week or two ago on the pod. So.
Yeah, I don't think there's been much of an update.
No news is maybe good news in this situation.
Well, I mean, the last time we talked, they talked about career ending.
Yeah. I know you aren't a big fan of him, and I'm sure you'll get to his announcement later on because I'm trying to be nice to you here, Tanner. But
I actually wasn't going to get to it, but you can bring it up.
Okay, so Marco Stunt has announced his retirement. It breaks Tanner's heart since you're not going to bring it up. I mean, Tanner is just absolutely heartbroken over Marco Stunt retiring.
Who the hell is
from
Tanner
professional
ever,
wrestling?
Who's Tanner ever going to face in the Tokyo Dome if he's retired?
That's the truth.
The Invisible Man. No, he'll take on that doll that whipped Kenny Omega's ass. That little blow-up doll.
The doll's got a name.
I don't know the doll's name. I don't watch it like you do, Shep. But Marco did tweet out a video from his last appearance on AEW when Luchasaurus came in, and he says he's hope he's recovering well, and if he does have to go out, he hopes he goes out as himself and not some changed version.
Yeah. Yeah, I do know our buddy Pluggo from Between Two Beards, he was supposed to interview Marco about a month ago, and then Marco no-showed him. So this could be
related to that.
Yeah.
Maybe he was afraid he didn't have any more dates coming up, and he was afraid he'd release something before the official announcement came out.
Hopefully Pluggo can still get that interview, because I know he was really looking forward to it. So he's a big fan of
Marcus. Yeah, I'm not sure who's a bigger fan, you or him.
Him. Yep. But
there's so many comments I can make, but in respect of Pluggo and some respect to Tanner, I'll just keep them to myself.
Hey, I'll take some respect.
I try to get respect on this podcast, and y'all's just shit on me every week. So
that is not true.
Yeah, you make it easy, Paul.
And by the way, the reason I was able to comment last week and not be here is I couldn't talk last week due to a massive toothache. So I didn't think you guys wanted me to just sit here the whole podcast.
Should have called Dr. Britt Baker.
Mm-hmm. I tried. She's booked up right now.
She's at Chef's house. So,
yeah.
Beat me to her. You know how many the old dentist chair, you know how many positions the chair does?
Just mute him now.
That thing is like a, you know, in a Cadillac, you got like a 10-way power seat. Well, that thing's like 18.
Oh, boy. I said, I'm sorry, Paul. That was my fault. I knew better.
Oh, Lord.
But we got some news items to hit on.
Let's talk about some news. Week.
One of them involves Mr. Kenny Omega.
Mm-hmm.
According to Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer newsletter, he's stating that Omega has begun discussing his return in more certain terms. And it looks like, let's see, signs approach that Omega is approaching an in-ring return. Earlier this week, it was announced that Omega will be in attendance at New Japan Pro Wrestling's Power Struggle on November 4th. That's tomorrow. Following up on several months of interviews and teases involving Omega and New Japan president Roshi Tanahashi. On top of that, Omega's tag team partner Ibushi provided a health update last month, sharing the belief that Omega has 2 or 3 months away from wrestling again. Last December, Omega suffered a serious case of diverticulitis, blah, 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 blah. Basically, whenever Kenny returns to AEW, he's supposed to pick up the feud against Okada and the Elite.
How about we see Okada and Omega in the Tokyo Dome?
Knew that was coming.
Lord.
Am I the only one that gets excited about the damn Tokyo Dome? What a great show that is. I mean, who doesn't want to get up at 4 a.m. and fold some fucking laundry, right? Let's go.
I'm normally just going to bed at that time, Shep.
Well, nah, hell, you got to go to bed earlier than that. You get up at 4 a.m., you fold some laundry, you make you an egg Sammy. Let's go.
There you go.
And then you got to pause it because my ass has got to go to work.
and I know we've talked about this before on the pod, but I think we need to bring it up again. Like every time, and unfortunately, since the start of AEW, Kenny's missed quite a bit of time due to injuries
and illness
and whatnot. But every time he's gone, it makes me realize how much I miss Kenny Omega that much more every single time.
Oh, yeah. He comes in for, you know, 3, 4, 5 months healthy, wrestles nonstop. And then he's gone again for a year. And it's like, man, I want him back.
What do you guys like better? Do you like a face or a heel Kenny?
Oh, I like both. I mean, Kenny is one of those that he can get you. Hold on. Let me explain, Shep.
It's like the political
let me
Oh, I want to make everybody happy.
Good Lord. We're not talking politics on here, Shep. Anyway.
I didn't try to, but you just gave the worst political answer in the world.
Now.
Sorry, Paul. Didn't mean to get riled up.
Kenny is one of those, he is so good that whether he's a face or a heel, he gets you to buy into that character 100%. You either 100% love the guy when he's a face or you 100% hate the guy when he's a heel. Me, I've always been more of a follower of the heels. So I would have to say, overall, I'm going to go heel Omega. See, you should have let me finish my explanation before you got riled up.
We just ran 4 miles to get to a quarter of a mile with that answer, but go ahead.
No, I wanted to explain myself first.
Paul, I'm not picking on you, but I am picking on you a little bit.
Yeah.
I missed
you, Paul. See my name on a ballot.
I missed you, Paul. I can't pick on Tanner like I can pick on you.
He either didn't hear me or he's not going to acknowledge it.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Yeah. I said, just wait, Shep. Someday you'll see my name on one of your ballots.
I'd vote for you.
That's scary. You got to vote. You got to vote, Paul.
You got to vote, Paul. You will not go. You won't get shut out.
You're not going to get blanked. I think we've seen Kenny's best work in AEW as a heel. So I'm ready to see what he can do full time as a face.
Yeah. Because he, I mean, with this feud against the Elite, he will have to come back as a face.
Yep.
But I think his, I think I agree with you. I think his best work and what I've enjoyed the most is him being a heel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His title run in 2021 was pretty special, considering for the most part there wasn't crowds. So,
yeah.
Or very little crowds, I should say, because we forgot. Daly's Place did let some people in. It wasn't like the Thunderdome.
Well, it was in Florida. COVID yep. wasn't real in Florida.
That's true. We got another. This is a contract status update in AEW, and it's with one of the Rhodes, not Cody, of course, Dustin Rhodes. As of right now, he is technically a free agent, but he's holding ROH Tag Team Gold. And he and AEW are ongoing contract discussions. So
are they not the Trios champion anymore with the Von Erichs?
Ooh, he might be too. That's a good question.
He was double gold there for a minute.
He was.
I gotcha.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We saw this new WWE ID program announced this week. Uh-huh. You know, and one of the developmental places is Cody's Nightmare Factory. Well, right after
they're
that,
still Dustin, Trios champs, by the way.
So he's double
Dustin
gold.
Tweeted out about his Rhodes Wrestling Academy. So, mm-hmm. He has wrestled more this year in 2024 than he has since he began in AEW.
I think he's healthier now than he's been in a while, too.
Yeah, since 2018, this has been his busiest in-ring year. He hasn't wrestled since September 25th. I think ultimately he does resign, but it is interesting it's got this far and he hasn't yet.
I don't think there's a place for him in Connecticut.
No,
not even a 6-month run to wash it out. Do I think he's an eventual Hall of Famer? Absolutely.
Yeah, should be.
Absolutely. And I think with Cody over there, whenever Dustin decides to hang the boots up, I think he will be inducted to the proper Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got maybe a year left. I mean, yeah, he's the healthiest he's ever been in the last 5 years. He can still work. He can still go for his age. Obviously, he's carrying two belts right now with some younger talent, the Von Erichs and Sammy Guevara. So I like to see him work with them for a little bit longer, but I don't want to. I mean, I don't want to see him go, but eventually we're going to have to see him go and right off into the sunset.
And we're talking a lot about ROH, right? Well, there's an update on a potential TV deal for Ring of Honor.
See, I wondered if this was coming. Again, I don't follow the dirt sheets. I get my news here on KOP, just like you should. So,
How do we get the news if we didn't get it from somewhere else and know where to talk about it?
You get the news. I don't. Our listeners and the followers and everybody who watches should get their news from KOP. You go get your news from SRS and Fightful and all those places you pay for it. I'm not going to pay for news and dirt sheets. I'll get it right here on KOP.
I do pay for the $5 from Fightful. I think it's some of the best $5 you can spend, I will say.
But, I wouldn't consider Fightful a dirt sheet either.
Yeah, they're pretty darn good at what they do.
And don't you dare ask Bully Ray about the dirt sheets. He gets fired up. No. Did you see that last week?
Yep. Yes, I did.
He was doing the interview with Cardona and who's the other guy? Cardona does that.
Myers.
Yeah. And some guy asked him about his beef with Karrion Kross. Mm-hmm. And Bully went off, and I loved every minute of it. Bully is real; it's not even funny.
And Bully popped up in NXT.
Yes, he did. Going to be in a tag match.
Bully's going to wrestle in the EC. I'm not even going to call it the 2300. He's going to wrestle in the ECW arena on Wednesday night, and it's the year 2024.
Didn't have that on my bingo card.
Nope. I think that's the only reason he accepted the match is because of where it's going to be.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw Bully make an appearance at WrestleMania, special guest referee. He obviously does some independent stuff. Just did Scott D'Amore's stuff up in Maple Leaf Wrestling.
That's going to be a fun promotion to watch, by the way.
I mean, with the first two shows they had, the Saturday, Sunday, and the talent they had, I love GCW, but that put GCW to shame with the talent list.
Yep. Yep.
And Scott D'Amore is very, very well liked. So.
Yep. And it's interesting, the kind of relationship already building there with AEW and Maple Leaf. So something to keep an eye on there too.
Yeah, they sent a lot of talent up.
Quite a bit. But going back to the report real quick, this is according to Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Negotiations are in progress and getting close between Tony Khan and AEW TV partner Warner Brothers Discovery on the matter of bringing the ROH product back to traditional television. The likely destination for ROH's new show would reportedly be True TV, a Warner Brothers Discovery cable network looking to transition into being a channel focused on showcasing live sports during primetime hours. Whether that means the network will change its name to fit this new initiative is unclear. Notably, reports ahead of the recent announcement that AEW has inked a lucrative new TV deal with WBD often mentioned True TV getting into the wrestling mix, although so far no AEW programming has been confirmed for its schedule. With that in mind, WON's Dave Meltzer believes that Jericho once again being made the face of the ROH brand could very well be an attempt to make signing a TV deal for ROH a more appealing prospect to any potential partners. Like him or not, Jericho is still one of the most recognizable figures in wrestling, and although has a heavy entertainment world presence outside the ring, thanks to his tours with Band Fozzie's countless reality show appearances and his small but memorable roles in the films like the recent hit slasher Terrifier 3. I cannot read. So Jericho, yeah, that makes sense why they put the ROH title on Jericho. Still not a fan of it.
Neither am I, but I told you that's why they were doing it. They're trying to ink out a deal for TV. That's why I picked Jericho at the pay-per-view. Yes, it cost me, but I had a feeling this was coming close.
You're right, but wrong, Paul.
Yeah, that
wrong feeling, time, but I was right.
I think that feeling you had was gas.
Oh, was it? I shit all over your numbers. Show.
Don't be dumbasses like KOP.
Wow.
Wow. Majin, remember, I'm the guy who picked, the only guy who picked Jericho to win.
Well, Shep, I don't know if you saw this. Jericho, Big Bill, and Brian Keith had a little segment on Dynamite the other night. And Brian Keith pretty much called everybody dumbasses if they don't respect Chris Jericho. So that's where that's coming from.
Yeah.
Good for Brian Keith, the bounty hunter. But
But I mean if they can get a deal with True TV, awesome. But
I mean True TV is a lot bigger network than I would have thought.
Yeah. Because I don't watch Honor Club. I don't pay for Honor Club every week. So if it was on network television, then sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll watch.
I remember back in the days when it used to be on like WGN when it was still around, and then CW for a while, and
the Fox affiliate at like 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock on 11 o'clock on Sunday nights on the Fox affiliate.
Yep, and then, always stayed up to watch it. Yep.
And then there was also a time like it was on a Fox affiliate on Friday night, or technically Saturday mornings at like 2 a.m.
Yeah,
once in a while. So that's kind of when I started to dip into it a little bit. So, but. Can't wait till they get the ROH title off of Chris Jericho, Majin. It'll be great.
I'll be happy when they do that. But again, I think putting the title on him helps get him that TV deal. That's why he was the first ever AEW world champion. That's why he's the current ROH champion.
Well, he appeared on ROH this last week, but it was a pre-recorded tape, tape segment.
Yeah.
So, give me. I'm not going to ask for three. That's too many. Mm-hmm. Who's your top two contenders, single contenders for this belt? Mm-hmm. I have two right off the bat, and Mark Briscoe is not one of them.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Man, that's a great question.
Trying to think who all's in ROH.
Here's my two. I love Dalton Castle.
I could do that.
He bleeds ROH.
He's got to get healthy first.
And the second one is Matt Taven.
Oh, I like the Matt Taven one. That'd be interesting. Okay. He's been a former champion there.
Mm-hmm.
Mod said ROH needed to put the title on a star to bring Nia in. Mark Briscoe ain't that guy. People from all walks of life know Jericho. They'll tune in. His reign will be short, too.
Yeah. As soon as the TV deal's inked, he drops it.
How about putting it back on Samoa Joe for a little bit? Joe needs to come back and get revenge on Jericho for putting him out.
There we go. I'd be okay with that. And then I really want to transition to what TK's been telling us since he bought ROH is we're not going to see ROH titles on AEW television.
Yeah, he made that statement, and it's hadn't even come close to being true.
I think he thought there was a TV deal right around the corner when he made that statement, and then realized nobody was interested at the time, so he went, well, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, Majin, I think he is. I think Joe is done filming Twisted Metal, so probably just a matter of time. And that's the beautiful thing about AEW right now. I mean, you know, Kenny should be coming back. Copeland should be coming back. Joe should be coming back. Finally get Julia Hart from the women's side should be coming back. We're finally going to get like the healthiest roster AEW's had in a long, long time. Knocking on wood.
Yeah. Sky Blue's still a ways away. Sorry, Chef.
Yeah. Eddie Kingston's still a little ways away.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Sky Blue comes every Sunday morning for a little therapy. We gotta work it out.
Well, you and her boyfriend have the same haircut, so
that's true.
Well, let's talk about Kyle Fletcher a little bit. We saw him on Dynamite. We saw returning Mark Davis come out, confront him a little bit. That was interesting.
It was, and here's the problem: the fans didn't react. They had forgotten who Mark Davis was. Because
a little different look
so long. Yeah. Well, yeah. Normally we see him in wrestling gear, not pajamas.
Yeah.
Sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Street clothes.
Jeans and a t-shirt are street clothes. Sweatpants are for home.
I'm going to have to agree with Paul on this one. And the reason this is funny, this came up. If you look at what high school kids wear nowadays.
Oh my God.
They wear fucking house slippers, sweatpants, and 14 sizes too big of hoodies to school. Like, that's like when we went to school, man, like we wanted to look good. Like, we had some
women
to impress, right?
You had a hoodie on, it was a fitted hoodie. I mean
you look good. You know, you had a little cologne on, you had a little of that Zoop. Remember the Zoop clone?
Mm-hmm.
That's before Tanner.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Zoop,
Yonkos.
Oh yeah. But anyways, what I'm saying is he's
CD players with anti-skip technology.
Bass buttons. Remember the bass buttons on the
CD? Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. And he really didn't do anything but just add a little bit of in your ear.
I got sidetracked. But no, I think Paul's right. How do you come out on a national television show wearing sweatpants and, you know, joggers and a fucking hoodie and some awful Adidas shoes? I don't get it.
I'd be okay if it was like jogger pants, you know, because then maybe it looks like he was just at the gym or something. But he's straight sweatpants, t-shirt, zip up hoodie, barely hanging on. I mean, that's home attire.
Yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. Hell yeah.
I remember the nasty smelling cologne when I was in high school was just it was like when Axe became a big thing. That's Monty Crane. Oh,
yeah, you're a pup. You're a pup.
I know it.
We had Jupe and we had Michael Jordan clone.
Yeah. And then you had your Stinson and, you know, your older guy stuff.
Yeah, that was way before me, Paul, was Stinson.
Well, I know, but I mean, you had like at least by the time I got to high school, remember, I went to a school that was in a cornfield. That's a true. Literal cornfield. All right. So
it was so good though.
All the seniors wore Stinson cologne. I mean, you walked by a senior, they had some type of Stinson on, okay?
We've never went down before a cologne rabbit hole.
Me and my group of friends just had, you know, the classic match Walmart version on, and we had our parachute pants and our black t-shirts and our safety pins and all that.
Good times.
Yeah.
Majin, anyone have any, I think it was called Brute?
Brute. Cologne? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That Brute made a aftershave and that shit burned.
Oh, yeah. I think I used it like once or twice and said, nope, never again.
Like when I was 16 and thought I should shave because I had a couple pubes coming out of my chin, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I shaved it and I'm like, oh, I got some of this Brute and I put it on there. That son of a bitch burned.
It was definitely the scene from Home Alone. It was like,
I screamed and cried like a little girl, man. That shit burned. God, the good old days. You know what? I'm looking at myself. I'm like, I should shave. Dude, I had fuzz coming out of my chin.
I didn't even have fuzz the first time I did it. I was going on my first date, and I was like, well, at least I can put some aftershave on if I shave real quick. I was like 14.
Yeah. That Brute.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Brute. Good one.
Well, we'll turn back the clocks from your time machines here back to the present for a little bit.
Well, that's because we live in a state that still acknowledges the daylight saving time, and the clocks went back last night, so we had to take it back.
Today feels
like the longest day ever, by the way.
You know what, the only good thing about this, though, this morning was long, being I don't work on Sundays, I work on Saturdays, and the day finished, and I looked at the wife, and I was like, all right, it's time to put the kids to bed. She's like, it's only 7. I said, I'm going to try to hit the podcast at 8:30, but I said, it's technically in the boys' mind. It's 8:00. She goes, well, last time the time changed, you didn't want to follow. I said, because it went forward.
Yeah.
Now it went backwards. Like,
I hate it. I hate
in their mind, it's 8:00.
Yeah. Internally. Yep.
Yeah. Put them kids to bed. Let them. And the one that I'm in charge of, he was snoring in like 7 minutes. It was great. And I was able to join you two jackalopes. So
yeah, out. Here we are.
So and I it like,
looks like it's midnight outside too.
I like the time change.
Yeah. Fair today. Enough. Fair enough. But Fletcher, we're going to get a match on Wednesday's Dynamite.
Oh, yeah, Fletcher.
Fletcher and Takeshita versus Ricochet and a mystery opponent. A lot of people think it's Ospreay. I don't because I think they're going to save Ospreay's return for Full Gear against Fletcher.
Yeah, it'll be
keep him off TV until the pay-per-view.
It'll be
probably Matt Sydal or somebody.
God, I hope not.
I know, but
Diego Del Sol comes back.
No, I actually. I mean, it doesn't.
What, go two returns?
It doesn't fit in the storyline. Yes. It doesn't fit in the storyline, but I could see somebody like an Orange Cassidy. Or the only other guy that can make sense and say that Don Callis did him wrong is Powerhouse Hobbs.
Ooh, yeah. And he should be returning soon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
You
know, try to get his revenge against the Callis family.
Well, Ricochet is screwed if you're the mystery partner, Majin.
Oh, man, I feel bad for Ricochet.
I would pay to see Majin in the ring with Takeshita.
Who would tear his quads faster, him or Shane McMahon?
Vince.
Or Vince, yeah. Vince, Shane McMahon, or Majin. Who tears them faster?
Vince. Followed by Majin and then Shane.
Speaking of that, I saw.
What about that, Mark Davis?
I saw that. Oh, okay, go ahead. You're still talking about that. I saw talks have fizzled out, supposedly, with Shane McMahon.
Yeah, things have cooled off, which I think that's good for AEW if they do have plans for him to pop off.
Well, did anybody read the release from TKO last week that Vince McMahon's non-compete comes up January 1, 2025?
Yeah, and he's putting some thing together.
Non-wrestling company, though.
Non-wrestling. XFL was a non-wrestling company, and half the people on the teams were wrestlers.
I mean, let's think about it. He's got as much money as Tony Khan. Okay?
Maybe.
I mean, he
still it depends on how much he has to pay off in fines and settlement. Let's just say
out of the $500 million, he's got $150 left. $150 million could start you a wrestling company.
Oh, hell yeah, it can.
So
nobody's going to back it, though. No fans are going to watch a Vince McMahon promotion.
Never say never. There's those diehard Vince McMahon marks who worship the ground he walks on, who That's think true. He did nothing wrong with all these allegations, who think it's BS he's not involved in WWE.
Let me ask you guys a question. And I think he's a scumbag, okay? But if all of a sudden on TNT, Discovery Channel, whatever, on a oddball night, if there was a new wrestling promotion debuting for an hour show, hour and a half show, something quick, the fandom that we enjoy, we're probably going to tune in just to see what the hell kind of shit show it is. And then if it's anything good, it's going to hook half the people. I'm just
saying. Unfortunately, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget the way WWF at the time won the Monday Night Wars was thanks to Eric Bischoff thinking he was putting the company down, saying, oh, you don't want to tune in over there. Mick Foley wins the title tonight. And everybody tuned in to go, wait, Mick Foley's actually going to win a title?
Yeah, that backfired.
And that's how they took off. So it could be very similar thing. I hate to admit it. Damn it, Shep.
Yeah. He's a, Well, Bischoff's an idiot, but.
So
Tanner, but you know.
Don't put me in the same category as Eric Bischoff there, Paul. All right, one more last thing, Kyle Fletcher, that I want to say. So I've been thinking about this. I think Kyle Fletcher, young Kyle Fletcher, because he's pretty young, is going to turn into AEW what young Randy Orton was for WWE.
I could get behind that.
I like the confidence you're showing behind this guy, but
evolution or fresh out of evolution.
That is the Mount Rushmore.
I'd say fresh out of evolution.
Okay. All right. I like that run. I like that run in between evolution and legacy a lot.
Yeah. Like he learned a lot. He had his ups and downs.
Mm-hmm. You got to watch him evolve from somebody who was still pretty green into the legend killer.
And maybe it's just the shaved head and the tattoos Fletcher has, kind of like similar to Young Randy. I don't know.
Young Randy didn't have a shaved head. It was just short. It was like Shep's.
Yeah.
Maybe a little longer.
Yeah, when Randy went shaved head, he was long. A lunatic. Yeah, when she, when Randy had a shaved head, he was a lunatic.
All the lunatics shaved their heads. Look at Mox.
Oh, imagine he Orton's on my Mount Rushmore of all time favorites. I'll give you that. And I think he's a top 20 pro wrestler of all time. Maybe top 15.
Now, hold on here, Majin. I said that's how big of a mountain.
Here we go.
That Fletcher would have to climb. Could he arguably be in there? Yeah, he's not in mine. But that's how big the damn mountain is that Tanner was comparing, is what I was saying. So let me explain myself a little bit better there.
Okay.
Sorry. I completely would rather have Nick Gage on my Mount Rushmore than Randy Orton. So
no, God, what? Lord. God.
Right next to Brian Cage.
Oh, Brian.
And Big Beal.
The Wolverine. No. I'm
Marco Stunt.
I'm being a little facetious, if you guys.
Which is why I'm doing it right back to you.
Yeah, I know. I can see that.
And Nick Gage is done with GCW, by the way, for a while.
He is.
Yeah.
Well, he can't walk, so it's hard to wrestle when you can't walk.
True.
Hey, anybody remember the guy who got fired from AEW after he went haywire and it was due to other allegations? But the last match he had, he was stapling people's foreheads.
Jimmy Havoc.
There we go. Is he still around?
I don't know. He's a piece of crap.
Yes.
Yep. November 12th, Paul Majin's saying.
I'm confused. I'm confused. All I know is Logan's getting his ass ripped in the background.
Yeah. He's playing a game with his sister, and she's not having whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
I keep telling her, I said, you got to quiet down when I podcast. Otherwise, people will hear you. And she goes, I don't care. And then just gets louder.
A few other big things I want to hit on. We have new tag champs.
Yes. Shep and
I called it last week. Yeah, Private Party. Keep the Young Bucks.
This would be a time for me to make a refill.
I had such a big question for him.
Shep was not a fan. I like it. I thought it was a very entertaining match. They had the hook, line, and sinker that they were going to lose a couple times.
I think
it's the right move. I think it's a move they should have probably done 4 or 5 years ago, to be honest. I'm glad they are now. He heat up a young talent.
Yes, it was perfect timing. It fit the story. Thank you. Ask me after that if I've watched it, because I'll be watching it that day.
No damn clue what you were talking about November 12th, so thank you.
I didn't either. I was confused. I hadn't looked at the official release date yet, but I should have known Majin was going to ask me if I'd seen Deadpool and Wolverine yet.
Yeah.
But I like the fact of bringing in CD to say, hey, remember, we did this in SCU and look what happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it really made you believe that these guys ain't winning this thing. It's going to be a repeat. Tonight's the last night we're going to see Private Party and some weird new moves from the Young Bucks. It was a good match.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good tag team match.
I did see this match. I did see this match.
I liked the whole thing involving the Young Bucks on Wednesday night. That was by far my favorite thing of the week.
The Young Bucks are my tag team of the year for 2024.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know a lot of people are like,
That's pretty bold.
Look at the matches they've had this year, though. I mean, you go back to pretty much every AEW pay-per-view, they've put on a good tag match. I mean, they were Sting and Darby. They had a good one with FTR and somebody else over at All In. I'm blanking right now. They've had
Private Party. I do. The Acclaimed.
They've had a couple good ones with the Acclaimed. This year, they've had some good tag team matches this year.
And it's not even just the matches that do it for me. It's the storytelling that they do each and every week, even if they're not in the ring. It's Matthew adding more and more pearls every time we see him on TV. It's the stupid little things. It's the, oh, here's our new shoes, but we'll release them soon. We'll release them soon. It's the whole, oh, we love you guys. Screw you. Thanks. You're the best.
When we saw Okada interfere during this match, yeah. Hit Tombstone on Mark Quinn, but it didn't matter. Private Party got it done, and like I was telling Paul Shep when you were going to make a refill, I think it's the right move because I think they should have done this 4 or 5 years ago.
I don't know. 4 or 5 years ago, Private Party was ready.
I say it's the perfect time.
I think they needed 2 or 3 years in a company like AEW to get there. Mm-hmm. Now they got a little bit of a crowd behind them, you know, even before the match, you know, when their music hit, people knew who they were. 3 years ago, their music hit, people did not know who they were.
All I ask is now that they're champions, can they stop changing their music every couple months? They right. That gets annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of this change, and I always the guy looked like he's 115 pounds, you know, the other guy looks like he's 130 pounds. That's hard for me. Like, what happens when they go up against the Outrunners or FTR, the real good tag teams of this company? How are they supposed to compete?
Well, speaking of the Outrunners and FTR and Private Party,
they had a great little segment on Collision.
And there's a good chance we're going to see all of them compete against each other because right now, I'm trying to bring it up here, there's going to be a series of matches because we're going to get a four-way match at Full Gear for the tag team titles. Mm-hmm. And coming up on Collision on the 9th, so next week, we're getting the Outrunners versus Top Flight. The winner of that match is in the Full Gear match. Then FTR versus House of Black on Dynamite, November 13th. That's going to be an awesome match.
Mm-hmm. I can get behind that match.
LFI versus the Acclaimed on Collision on November 16th. And then the winners, all three of those, will be in the four-way match. So I got to think it's going to be Outrunners. I think FTR, and I think, probably the Acclaimed, even though I think it should be LFI.
Well, I think the Acclaimed had the little highlight I saw from Collision. They could be heading for a split.
Yes.
Heading for a split. Which is fine. Bowens is ready to be on his own.
It's been for a while.
Bowens is, but what do you do with Caster? Cannot be a single star.
Yeah, no.
And I'm not
team him up with Billy Gunn. Keep those two together, and I don't know.
Put Max as a heel.
Yeah, have Max be the one who turns on Anthony, and then Bowens goes and has a great singles career, while Max kind of fades into the background and becomes the next Fuego del Sol. No disrespect to Fuego. Hey. We all know I like Fuego.
He's on the GCW posters nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we saw Darby Allin's return on Wednesday night. Really weird. It was kind of random. I thought they would keep him off TV for a while, and like when he made his return, you'd really know. But he came out in the All Out Brawl with the BCC in the locker room, and he came out propelling down from the roof. But was I the only one who got really nervous when they couldn't get the hook off his back?
Yes.
Fighting, he's up in the air. I'm like, my God, he's gonna get like wrapped around his neck or something. He's gonna get pulled up in the air.
They could not release
him. I was like, get that damn thing off of his back.
He went too quick from being feet on the ground into a fight. He had no chance. He should have.
And then the table broke when he wasn't supposed to break.
Yeah.
It was a shit show.
chaos, and you know they swerved us with looked like Mox was going to beat up Wheeler. It was just a swerve to get Orange down to the ring.
Uh-huh.
Even though last night on Collision, we saw Wheeler was supposed to hit Orange with a chair, and he couldn't pull the trigger with the chair. Orange took the chair away. Then Wheeler tried to punch him, and Orange beat him to it with the Orange punch.
Yeah. And hey, while we're on the topic of Orange Cassidy, Shep, you know, when you first joined this podcast, you said, man, I can't stand Orange Cassidy. He's a shit show. He doesn't deserve gold. He needs to be more of a serious character if he ever is going to be world champion. Well, I think he's become a serious character finally. You ready to say he deserves a championship yet?
He's grown on me. He has grown on me. And I tell you what, the promo he cut, and he came out and said, look, I don't want to talk to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be your hero. I'm not the hero of this company. I don't, that's not me. It was such a real promo and it worked so well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as much as he doesn't want his character to be there, it elevated him so much. He did such a darn good job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, I need AEW. Mox doesn't need AEW. Yeah.
Do I think it's the right time to take the belt off of Mox? No. But do I see him in 2025 and 2026 going for the world championship? Yeah. And I could see it on his waist.
Yeah.
So yes, I used to bash him. You are correct, Paul. When I first came on this podcast, when I had that Corvette sign behind me and was in that little room that actually it didn't echo because I didn't even have to have a mic back then.
Yeah. No matter what match Orange Cassidy was in, you picked him to lose it every single time.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I've grown. I've come a long way, Paul.
Yes, you have.
Orange and Darby are going to be teaming up in a tag match Wednesday night against Claudio and Pac.
Yeah.
Should be a good one. Also on Dynamite, we're getting Penelope Ford versus Jamie Hayter.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting the Learning Tree, the Trios of the Learning Tree against the Trios of the Conglomeration. We're getting a face-to-face between Hook and Christian Cage.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting Adam Cole's second match. He defeated Buddy Matthews in a very fun match. Adam Cole, I can already tell, is the new Bryan Danielson for me as far as getting nervous during matches, whether he's selling or really re-injured himself.
Oh, yeah. When he started grabbing, I was like, oh, crap.
I figured that was fun while it lasted. But I'm like, he's gonna be like Danielson was. Because for the longest while, when Danielson was in AEW, it took me a while to get used to watch his matches because I was always afraid he was re-injuring himself all the time.
I get that with Copeland as well.
Yeah. Sting, Danielson, Cole, Copeland. Those are the four.
I agree a lot with Jim Cornette when it comes to professional wrestling.
I was going to say, there's a lot of stuff you don't do, though.
Yeah. Outside of professional wrestling, Cornette and I would probably get in a fist fight. So. Yeah,
that's a good.
And when I say I have to respect Cornette because of what he's done in the business.
I think whether you like him or not, you have to respect him.
Yeah, and his historian mind is just amazing. I love listening to him talk about the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Excuse me. I love to listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his modern-day take of wrestling, it's a little bit off, and I don't always agree with him there. But the guy's a legend.
For me, Cornette is one of those guys. I agree with you. His classic wrestling mind is phenomenal. But for me, Cornette is one of those guys who never got out of that era. Anything past that era is just shit wrestling because they don't like it as much as those days because it's the flippies, it's the high jumps, it's not it's more show and more entertainment now than it is wrestling, which it was back then.
He's not a big flippity flop guy, but
and neither are you.
Nah, yeah, but you know what though? Like, I look at Kyle Fletcher and Commander this last week. Fuck, that was a great match. But you know, Cornette was heavily a part of the Attitude Era. He was on commentary quite a bit on Raw, and so I mean, he came out of that. He came out of the territory era pretty good. But yeah. Like, but for him and I to sit down and watch Kyle Fletcher and Commander this past Saturday night, we would have completely opposite outtakes of that match.
Oh, he would have thought it was shit, and Dave Meltzer probably gave it 17 stars.
Now, there's a guy that I probably used to really, really admire, and I think he's a fuck stain.
And by the way, Majin, I thought the same thing. I was, these two were a little behind me. Yeah, you said he looks awful, and I was like, I thought he had jaundice from the way he looked, because Tanner was like,
I thought it was just a bad spray tan. But he did look like he's never been the most muscular dude, and standing next to Buddy Matthews, you're gonna look pretty bad.
Yeah. So,
and please give Buddy more singles matches. I really enjoyed that match.
My exact text was, why is Adam orange like a pumpkin?
Yeah,
and Tanner said Brad's bad spray tan.
Yeah. And I said something about jaundice.
Yeah, Tanner. Paul goes, "LOL, dude looked a little like he was jaundice."
Here, I have the perfect comparison of Adam Cole and Buddy Matthews.
But Adam Cole is facing another member of the House of Black this week, and Malakai Black. That's going to be a fun one Wednesday
that
night.
A little throwback to
NXT Golden Black era.
Yeah. And just how the lights went off, came back up, and those two were shaking hands instead was so cool. I like
that. I liked it too, but I had to put my disbelief. Like, I had to take my mind, get it into the wrestling mind, because at first I'm like, how would he not feel a hand change? You can change, yeah, exactly. But you know, you can't always be
focused. Yeah. So.
It was Fright Night, yes, Stuffy. It was Fright Night. You're right. And no Danhausen. So that tells me they're never gonna use him. Ever. Ever.
Is he still under contract?
He is still under contract. And the thing is, he still moves merch. I just don't understand.
Yeah. He's got at least one, if not two, championships out of the indie scene. The dude's killing it on the indie scene right now.
The only thing I can think of is he didn't mesh with Tony's vision of we're the best wrestle and trying to get away from the entertaining stuff. I don't know. But Adam Cole and Malakai Black's going to be fun Wednesday night.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And another big thing coming out of Wednesday's Dynamite I want to talk about is we've been waiting for this guy to show up in AEW. The Almighty. I don't think he's going to buy that anymore, but Big Bobby Lashley finally showed up in AEW. Swerve beat Shelton Benjamin in the main event, which saw Shelton get a ton of offense in, by the way. And MVP gets on the phone, and right after he gets off the phone, music hits, or lights go out, come back on, and lights go out again. And then the music hits, out comes Bobby Lashley, and Bobby and Shelton and MVP beat down Swerve and Nana. And MVP says, business is back. So the Hurt Syndicate is ready to roll.
Okay, so
poor Nana, man. I hope he didn't spill his coffee.
Chip, I tried to be serious, damn it.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Paul.
I was not a fan of this at all. Now, here, let me explain it fully before, Shep, you go ranting about I'm an idiot.
I'm a jackalope,
or a dumbass, or a fuck stain, or whatever you're going to call me.
I tend to call everybody all those, but go ahead. I want to hear this. I really am intrigued.
We've been to these shows. We've been on the phone. It's impossible to hear a good phone conversation. You cannot have a good phone conversation. You cannot, in any sense of disbelief, you cannot suspend your disbelief that that was a proper phone call with music playing in the background. The lights went out. They weren't supposed to go out how they went out and come right back on. So that was a screw up on production's part. And the whole time Bobby Lashley's making his entrance and they're doing the beat down, you've got the guy in the back going, "We've got this long till we're off the air. This long." Yeah. Oh,
that was bad.
It's those little things as a guy who's worked in media that drive me nuts.
I liked what happened once he got in the ring. I thought the stare down, crowd was into it. Bobby looked like a million bucks, like he always does, looked powerful. This is a trio I can get behind of running roughshod over the company. But the phone call thing that bothered me, it wasn't so much what you said, Paul, about like not being able to hear. It was like with how quick Bobby came out, what was Bobby doing? Just waiting around in the locker room, like, I'm just gonna stay here and wait around. Oh, MVP's calling me. Oh, you need me now? Okay, I'll be out there. It's like if they did the phone call spot, he should debut next week.
Yes.
Kind of like he was calling in the reinforcements for next week.
And that's where I thought they were going with this. It's like maybe a video package was going to pop up that, you know, be sure to tune in next week because I'm coming or, you know, something. But it's almost as like he called production and said, "It's time, hit his music."
Yep. You know, if we could go back to day one of AEW, production has never been that good.
Oh, no.
That's one
thing they've always lacked on.
And I've always bitched about, you know, if you start the show with the backstage segment or, you know, you start the show with Excalibur talking, there's music playing, you can't hear him, and it's the opening of the show. All you hear is crowd noise or the music, and he's trying to talk. And then some backstage segment with Renee, like, it sounds like she's in an echoey tunnel.
Yeah, because it's always one of these things.
We're joined here on AEW Dynamite by timeless Tony Storm, who just had a victory. Tony, go ahead.
You can't hear what's going on.
Yeah, no. So
you're welcome.
Production's never been a strong suit. I understand the phone call. It just didn't. Production didn't help the phone call. So I get it. I get where you're coming from. I mean, that's a little old school for you, Paul, which I appreciate. I appreciate you looking at the finer things like that. But it worked. To me, it worked in the situation like, all right, it's time to make the fucking call. Let's go. You know what I mean? Everybody knows it's time to make the call. That's why they did it.
I mean, you know what? Go ahead, Tanner.
You know what's crazy? This is the first time a live crowd has seen the three of these guys together. So the whole time they were together was during the pandemic in WWE. And by the time live crowds were back, they pulled the plug on it. So, yeah. It's going to be fun ride, I think.
Okay, so we talked about it in WWE, and they teased it. Who's the female version? Who's the female add to this?
Yeah, no.
I think there's only one.
All right, who's yours?
Queen Amanada.
Okay, I was thinking Red Velvet, so...
I think Queen Amanada's had those. Red Velvet's had some. She's been working in.
Amanada's probably getting more of a push though right now than
yeah. Red yeah.
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 And
because Velvet's been over on ROH kicking ass.
Yeah, but I like both of them. Don't be wrong. But I
Athena.
Ooh.
Athena.
Ooh.
She's a bruiser.
Yeah, I mean,
she fit great,
especially if they do take that ROH title off of her, which she's held for like ever. They need to get her on AEW television, and then she can fit right in there.
Yeah.
See, Majin knows. Majin and I are on the same Brave Wink tonight, which is really scary.
That's scary.
I know.
He bounces back and forth between you and I.
Tanner's gonna get off this air and gonna make him a cup of tea and put maple syrup in the damn thing.
I do like tea. I do like maple syrup. I don't think I'd like them together.
It's probably what's already in his cup. What are you talking about, Shep? Probably drinking some British tea or some Canadian tea.
It's empty now. It was water, but it's empty.
Uh-huh. You can't prove to us that it was only water.
Is that a teal solo cup, by the way?
No, it's not solo cup. It's plastic.
Is it teal? Is it teal? Okay.
Yeah, it's teal.
Drink out of a bottle like a real man.
save the environment. Drink out of styrofoam.
Yeah, there you go.
You got those recyclable straws too, Shep?
No.
I don't use straws. I hate straws. Absolutely hate straws. The only time I would ever use a straw, and I don't drink them because I'm lactose intolerant, is in a milkshake. And I couldn't tell you the last time. I bet it's been 10 years since I've had a milkshake.
Man, I don't like smoothies to save my life, but I will say Duretti's has a bomb strawberry banana smoothie if you get it with juice instead of milk. Oh yeah.
But you know what? It'd be runny enough with that. I would just drink it normally. I cannot do a straw.
You gotta wait for it to melt a little bit. It's pretty thick.
I mean, if you guys like to put your lips around circle shit, I mean, it's all on you guys.
Oh my god!
I'm just saying. I just throwing it out there. Not me. Not me.
Have you popped up that last comment from Majin yet, Tanner?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I did. All right.
Brandon J, y'all think Death Riders going to be very domestic faction? And I think by Death Riders, he's referring to BCC because Moxley did he's trying to trademark Death Riders. And I think that'd be a more fitting name. I think BCC's
absolutely
done. Mm-hmm. We're seeing them run rough shit over everybody. I don't see them really adding any more members, and we don't want them to, or at least I don't want them to. I don't think Shep wants them to. We don't want them getting too diluted like the NWO back in the day. Yeah. And now, I mean, and I wanted to hit on it earlier and kind of forgot. We saw the Bucks, you know, saying they're going home for a while. They're technically running away from BCC. Yes. They want nothing to do with them. They left Cutler behind.
The documents.
Shredding some documents. Cutler gets his hand smashed by
terrible camera angle.
Yeah, now, definitely.
Now when you say domestic, I would love to see the Death Riders show up at the Tokyo Dome.
In Tokyo Dome. Well, they should. They should.
That'd be a hell of a representation of AEW.
They should. And you know, we're going to see Garcia and Perry because we saw them get into it backstage. Mm-hmm. So the Bucks, it sounds like by reports, they're going to be off TV for a long time.
They're taking a break.
Taking a break. They're only signed for certain days or certain dates, so many dates throughout the year, and Tony didn't want to pay extra. So that's the end of their storyline for now. They will be back for Wrestle Dynasty in the Tokyo Dome on January 5th. It has been reported where it's rumored, we don't know yet, that they could be taking on Tanahashi and Omega if Omega returns. Mm-hmm. But I got to thinking, and Shep and I were just kind of talking about this last week. You know, how do you get the Bucks face eventually? How do you get them face? I think there were some seeds planted this week. You know, the BCC Death Riders, whatever you want to call them, cleans house over out the locker room. And the guys who have to come back to save the company they founded, the Bucks.
Yep.
Eventually.
And actually, you know what? You could do this if they make it a hostile takeover. You could actually have them come back as the EVPs because they're like, this is our company. Like, we're mm-hmm. coming back. We're gonna take care of this. So you can almost have them keep the same gimmick and come back as EVPs, but be cheered as the EVPs.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting what direction they go there. And then I'm kind of hopping all over the place. But going back to the Hurt Syndicate, you think we get Lashley and Swerve then at Full Gear? Or do they hold off on that for a little bit longer?
No.
It's TK. He's going to strike the iron while it's hot. These two are going to hit it Full Gear.
And I know, Paul, I know you and I are going head-to-head for the KOP predictions title at Full Gear, and Shep's mm-hmm. not in it, but he's going to take it off whoever at World's End, he says. But who do you guys think as of now? Who would you say goes over in that match? Swerve or Lashley? Or neither?
Go ahead, Paul. I mean, you're in it.
Oh yeah, thanks, Shep. If they keep Lashley out of a match until full gear, Lashley, hands down. My fear is they're going to have him run rampant on some unknown local talent, and we're going to get more of a even match similar to what we saw with Benjamin and Swerve.
I think it should be Lashley, and I kind of agree with Majin. I think Lashley should destroy Swerve. Swerve can get that win back then at World's End or down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. Go in, Lashley just destroys him. Keep it under 5 minutes.
Yeah, and
just show Lashley being a dominant force.
And Shep, you were talking about adding a female to the group. If they were to add another male, which I don't think they need to, but if they wanted to add one more wrestler, since MVP's pretty much primarily a manager, how about Hobbs?
Hobbs would be a great one. You know,
Hobbs would be. It'd be better than the rumored Leo Rush at one point.
Lashley and Leo Rush are buddies.
We've seen that, done that in WWE.
Yeah, so. Hold on. Let me bend over and smack my ass on the way out to the ring. Wow. That's what Leo's version of Lashley did, and that's what – you can't do that again.
Back to that match. I think it's more of a competitive match, and Swerve's about to go over, and then it gets squashed. And because I think this is a story that can go on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, I think the guy that you're going to add to this, Hurt Syndicate, is that what we're calling it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the guy you're going to add is Swerve. But you're going to add Swerve when he is the world champion again. And that could be in the summertime. And then I think you have guys like Lashley and Shelton. They're going to go after some tag team gold. So you could have these factions, the Death Riders. Now you got the Hurt Syndicate, the Elites taking a rest. They're going to hold all the gold, and I'm okay with that if it's done right. So. Hopefully they make this story extend, and just it's not a one and done.
Yes, they really should. I think. Yeah.
It can't be a full gear match and then
we don't
the Shelton need, match yeah, and be we, done with it.
We don't need none of that lazy booking.
Yep.
No. Yep.
Well, right now, as it sits right now, full gear. The official matches we have: Moxley versus Orange Cassidy for the World Championship. Hangman, Adam Page versus Jay White. MJF versus either Adam Cole or Roderick Strong, or I'm going to throw in both. I still think there's a chance it could be a
triple threat. I think it ends up being a triple threat.
And did you guys see Roderick shaved his mustache for the first time in a year?
He did. Yeah.
Yep. And then the big match for your zero-hour pre-show. You got QT Marshall versus Big Boom AJ with Big Justice of the Costco guys.
I saw this.
Boom.
What is this? Somebody explain this to me.
They are really big on TikTok and social
media. I don't have TikTok.
I don't either. And I know who they are. Big Boom AJ, Big Justice, and his other son. His name's escaping me. They're just kind of social media influencers right now, and they do a lot of things at Costco, so they're called the Costco guys. But Big AJ used to wrestle back in the day, and he wants to have one more match, and Tony Khan thought, oh, this would be great, so QT is gonna be his opponent.
That's amazing.
They like to do this, Shep. They go
that's fucking embarrassing. That's embarrassing. We got guys that fucking we got guys that eat Costco glizzies and
chicken bakes.
Chicken bakes.
They love the chicken bakes.
And you're going to put them on
it's very WWE-like.
Pay-per-view?
Hey, remember, Tony Khan once had a guy backstage who enjoys jumping off of stuff onto other stuff, causing himself pain, who likes to yell whoop whoop. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that dumbass was in AEW.
He was backstage.
Oh, he didn't make an appearance though.
Yeah, he did. He was on TV.
He was?
Yes.
When?
I swear.
Yeah,
it wasn't a pay per view. I know that much, but I swear it was AEW.
The other son's called the Rizzler. Little fat guy, the Rizzler. Short little fat guy.
Oh.
They were on Jimmy. Were they? They were on Jimmy Fallon the other night.
Tanner or Paul, if you're serious, that's embarrassing.
Yeah,
because I know what you're saying with the guy that says whoop whoop.
Superhuman.
He does. He jumps off of the.
Yeah, he is
so embarrassing. He's a fucking ICP fan.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks ICP is the greatest band in the world.
Yep.
It's embarrassing. Really embarrassing. It's like some Canadians like a Nickelback or some shit.
Hey, I like Nickelback.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them at concert last year. They put on a good show. It was like
3 years ago.
Nickelback. Tanner puts maple syrup on everything now.
Oh yeah, Shep's gonna hate these Costco guys. They were on. They did an interview at All Out.
It's embarrassing. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Okay, you know what? If QT Marshall is gonna come back to AEW, which you haven't seen him in what, 2 years?
Yeah, he's been behind the scenes a lot. Which he is wrestling MJF on the Indies coming up soon.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Yeah, MJF's doing an indie show in December, and QT's facing him.
Is it in Mexico?
No, it's in New York, I think.
Oh.
No, so MJF will go over.
Oh, yeah.
If it's in Mexico, QT might go over.
No, he's God, no.
Down there. They love him south of the border.
He's no Double J.
He doesn't throw tortillas at him coming down the ramp.
Brandon J said, Death Riders versus Hurt Business next year. That'd be fun.
Blood and guts.
Had to add a few. Yeah. Add a few people. You could do that.
Yeah.
Nah. Keep it just as it is. We don't always have to have 5-on-5.
So how about we switch? How about some releases from Connecticut? I think I sent you guys this.
Yeah, Majin, go for it. If you got non wrestling questions, shoot. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know
about Byron Corbin, but
Baron Corbin, Andy Harwell.
Yeah.
There was
Negan Talk. Or yeah.
Negan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Corbin Negan is interesting. Knox. Corbin was interesting to me though.
Yeah. I didn't like the happy Corbin that they had, but I always thought he could have been a big name, but they just never used him properly.
Well, he retired Kurt Angle. He was the last person to pin Roman Reigns until Cody Rhodes did. So,
mm-hmm.
I think his in-ring work is awesome. Super athletic. I mean, ex-NFL player. Mm-hmm. I always loved that McAfee said, "Hey, we shared a shower together."
Yeah, that gets the boys going.
Corbin was on the Colts at one point, but I don't know. I think there's something there with him. I really do. I liked his gimmicks that they had when he
Colts
had
are up 7-0 in the third. By the way, Shep.
I know. I'm watching it behind me. Mm-hmm. Just don't jinx it, fucking.
No, I don't care. I don't care. I hope they lose.
Yeah, really. I'm not picking on you today.
My team got waxed today, so.
Yeah, but Cortland Sutton came up huge today.
Hey, don't worry. My team lost today, too.
Yeah. Do they even have a team in Cleveland?
No, they don't.
For another year. All right, so let's hit Wrestler of the Week.
I'll go first. I think your wrestler of the week's Kyle Fletcher.
Good one.
All right.
From what I saw, the highlights and everything, I love the new look. I love the shave head.
Of course you do. You guys have the same haircut now.
We do. It's very easy to maintain.
You're built similar, too.
We're built very similar.
Mm-hmm. Almost can't tell you guys apart now.
Yeah. My tits and his tits are about the same, so it's great. I can flex mine just like his. Back to Kyle Fletcher, boys. I thought he had a really good week. I love the new look, and that match with him and Commander was awesome on Collision. So he's my wrestler of the week. Cheers.
All right. Well, I didn't watch it, and I know you guys like to give me crap for picking somebody that I didn't watch, but I've got to go in a losing effort, Anna Jay, because she's finally getting the push that they've been trying to give her. Yes, she lost to Mariah May, but she has pinned her, and one of the few people in the history of AEW to win a eliminator match. So, I'm sorry, but between her push, her great new talent, how she's continuing to learn and still evolving, she's going to be a top AEW female star within, I'd say, 2 years. So
yeah, I figured you were going there. So
I would love to say in a winning effort this week, but AEW kind of dropped the ball and given her the title, which I understand. I know where they're going with that storyline, but let's give her some gold somewhere, somehow.
Well, I'm going to do what I'm famous for in this. I'm going with the tag team. I'm going with Private Party. I'm taking the easy way out and going Private Party. These guys have been pushed way down the card. They've been forgotten about for a while at times. The Hardy Party stuff. Mark Quinn was out with injuries. So, you know, Isaiah Cassidy turned into Brother Zay, blah, blah, blah. Worked their way back up into the title picture. Didn't win it at Dynasty at Wrestle Dream, but then got another shot the other night and took advantage. So we'll see what their run has in store as champs and how long it lasts.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that leaves a rating of the week. Tanner, you went last, so why don't you go first this round?
And real quick, I saw Majin said have Anna beat Mercedes. It looks like Mercedes is going to face Statlander at Full Gear. It's not official yet. But it looks like that's going to be.
I think it'll become official. Statlander
went over Camille.
Somebody needs to beat her. So somebody.
She doesn't need a title.
I did not like how Mercedes told Camille to get to the back. I thought it made her look weak. Didn't like that. But Camille will end up. They'll feud eventually. So. Rating, I watched a little Collision, but mostly I watched Dynamite. I thought Dynamite was much better this week than it was last week. I like these special Dynamites. I like the Fright Night. I like the presentation and everything. I'm going 7-8.
Okay. All right. And Statlander remembered to actually wear something a little bit different in honor of Fright Night. So big shout out to her for understanding the assignment, as the kids say these days. I was right there with you, and I don't like to be higher than you, so I got to bring it down a notch and go 7-7.
I'm with Majin here. Just because you can't say that number without a smirk on your face. And
for all the listeners out there, it was 6.9 by Majin.
Good time ruined by a period.
Wow. I watched a little bit of Collision. I watched majority of Dynamite. Better show this week was Dynamite for sure, especially with Lashley showing up at the end. And I actually had this number in my head beforehand, so it is a 6-9. So.
How fitting.
But
right after the topic we just talked about.
You know what, though? Here's what I'm going to say. Watching the highlight, I watched some highlights of Collision and with Dynamite. There's a potential of some serious storylines if they can stretch them out.
Like, oh, yeah.
We're talking 4 to 6 months type stuff. Now, I wouldn't compare it to the Bloodline, which has been going on for years and looks like it's going to be going on for another year, which is maybe one of the greatest storylines in professional wrestling history. But there's some opportunities here if TK can really take his mark hat off and put his promoter hat on and stretch these guys out.
Mm-hmm. So
there's some really, really good opportunities here. So hopefully we see that on the women's side and obviously the men's side.
That's just her whole new look. But yes, she understood the assignment too. But yeah, every time I see Jamie Hayter, I instantly think of Daphne.
And one more thing I want to say before we wrap it up, and because Paul was talking about CD Christopher Daniels earlier, I cannot get behind his role as GM.
He comes off
as such a dork and non-powerful. It's not mm-hmm. believable at all.
No.
So you would say Adam Pearce is better than CD?
Yes. Yep.
Adam Pearce is actually really good.
And Aldis is better than both of them at that role. So
I will go on record, and you two can hate me for this. I think Michael Cole and the anonymous GM was better than CD.
I remember that.
No, it wasn't. That was awful.
It was entertaining, right?
Yes.
No, it was shit.
It was entertaining.
That was awful. That was what WWE was some of the worst stuff on. Awful. And it ends up being fucking Hornswoggle.
I just received a message from the anonymous general manager.
Wait a minute. Are you against short people, Tanner?
Yeah. I'm hearing that Tanner doesn't like people shorter than him.
Yeah. Do you throw them against the dartboard?
Are you the one who laughs at those videos when, like, they show a short person jumping and then just like a little bloop in a sink or something?
I do. Those are great.
I tried to keep a straight face while I said that, by the way.
The best part, one of the best ones, and Tanner's seen this because he's a golfer, is you see a little person tee off on a normal golf hole, and then the ball shows it rolling in like a miniature putt-putt course. That's the best one. That's one of the greatest.
I saw one where somebody hit a golf ball, and it ended up being like a freaking the boulder that Indiana Jones ran away from chasing after a little person.
We all love the little people.
Yes, we do. We are not heightists around here. But
with that said,
I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Kicking Out Podcast. Be sure to follow us on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Be sure to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. And if that happens to be Apple Podcasts, leave us that 5-star review because we are 5-star KOP. Don't forget to check out kickingoutshop.com. We are getting ready to enter the holiday season, so there might just be some discounts coming up. You'll have to stay tuned and find out and go check out now, see what you might be interested in. So if there is a discount code, you can get it with that discount code. Be sure to follow all of us on social media. Austin Shepherd at TheShep27. Tanner Lee at TannerLee92. Follow myself at PaulZartman87. And with that, for Austin Shepherd and Tanner Lee, I'm Paul Zartman. Join us again next week as we kick out yet another podcast.